We'll read 1 through 5. We'll continue on from the Sunday message. And so, do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you'll be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is... Okay, we'll stop there. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Now turn to John chapter 7. John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, when we go to this topic of judging, it's actually fairly important for us to really understand and grasp what the Lord is saying to us. Is he saying that we're not supposed to judge? One of the things when we talk about pluralism and postmodernism and, you know, intellectualism and all these isms that are kind of infiltrating our modern thought right now is that in a way that we should never speak out against something. That's kind of the idea, the backing behind that in this humanistic ideal is because there's really no truth. And so recently, Pope, is it Francis? He's a new guy, right? Francis. So Pope Francis came out recently and they asked him about a certain controversial things that are going on in the world these days. And his answer was, who am I to judge? And you're precisely the person to judge, man. When it comes down to it, you're the Pope. And so you're a spokesman person for the whole church or the Catholic Church. But it's a very common ideal that you hear a lot. And probably when we talk about discipline and these kind of things, we'll always invariably be confronted with that line of questioning. Who are you to judge? You know, or don't judge me, or whatever the case may be. And so let's really look at what Jesus is saying here. Are those people saying that, are they rightly, you know, sharing God's word with us, or could there be something more? Now, obviously, if you follow along with what we've been doing for this last week, you know that we think it's okay to judge. Okay, you know, these verses when Jesus is talking here, he's not necessarily referring to the judging aspect. He's actually referring to self-righteousness and hypocrisy. If you go, let's do a quick overview of Sermon on the Mount, okay? So in chapter 5, we start the Beatitudes, a very different way of looking at life and living and whatnot. And then he talks about who we are in the world. Then he talks about our personal relationships and how that operates together. And then he starts talking about a higher law, in essence. And then, it's actually the key is in verse 6. This goes to the whole next level, or chapter 6, verse 1. Whole other group of thoughts that really stem from this. And look what it says. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. Right, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Remember, we talked about it, the Beatitudes. A lot of it is dealing with this issue of righteousness. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, totally misunderstood what was meant by God's righteousness. So now he tells them, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. He's dealing with the issue of self-righteousness and this idea of hypocrisy. So then when he gets to chapter 7, so part of that, okay, we'll continue overview. Part of that, he teaches them how to pray. Don't do these all lofty words. When you give, be humble. Don't make a show of all these things. Don't practice your righteousness before men. In that same way, also, he talks about fasting. When you fast, don't come with a gloomy face, gloomy appearance. You know, just don't do it in front of men, basically. Or don't do it to show off in front of men. Don't be self-righteous in this regard. And then he talks about the use of money. In the same way with your funds, don't do it in front of people. Don't be self-righteous about this. Don't be hypocritical, because God is going to take care of you. This is a great passage on anxiety. And then he gets to chapter 7. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Now, obviously in John chapter 7, 24, we just read that he says, when you judge, judge righteously. So what is he trying to say here? Why is he on one side saying don't judge, and the other side saying judge righteously? And then to top this off, Jesus was judging people all the time. He was calling the Pharisees brood of vipers. He actually at some point turned to his disciples and called them a bunch of fools. Constantly judging people, letting them know what's going on, letting them know what's going on in their life. And whatnot. And so, what does this mean for us? Now, take this in mind. Let's go to Isaiah. This is actually one of my favorite passages. Isaiah chapter 11. And this is the messianic prophecy of David. But really, it's talking about Jesus, obviously. It's a righteous branch. It says, Isaiah 11, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, Jesus, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And this is a key. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge. Isn't that great? He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge. That sounds very much like what he says in John 7, 24. When you judge, judge with righteousness. Judge righteously. In this regard, when we talk about this idea of judging, it's not so much an issue of not judging, but it's an issue of judging righteously. Obviously, as we live in this world, we're going to have to make judgments. If you don't, you're going to get abused. Think about this. Let's say I leave church today. I'm hanging out with a group of people, three people that I know. And then in the midst of that, and this is only three people, next thing you know, someone rips off my wallet. So I'm hanging out with these guys, and someone takes my wallet. Now, I guarantee you, next time I'm with these three guys, I'm going to keep a very good eye on my wallet. Is that being judgmental? No, it's just being smart, right? It's just being wise. I don't want to get ripped off again. You know, you're in relationships with someone, and the person that you're in a relationship is just very abusive towards you. You know, very always putting you down. This person always making you feel small, always yelling at you. And then you confront this person. Is that judging? No, that's just smart. It's self-preservation. It's protecting yourself in that way. And so I think a lot of times when we talk about judging, when Jesus is talking about this, right, the issue is hypocrisy. Look what he says. For in the way that you judge, that's the key, the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Notice, he wants us to take the speck out of our brother's eye. But first, he wants us to take the log out of our own eye. In other words, he's making sure that we take care of our own business first. The issue is hypocrisy. The issue is, don't be a hypocrite. Yeah, don't start accusing someone or whatnot, but yet you're dealing with the issues yourself. You know, and this is a huge temptation. I've been in situations. I remember one time I was in a missions meeting, and in this missions meeting, they were praying about who should we let go on a mission trip. And one of the candidates, this is early on, one of the candidates on the trip had some very questionable relationship issues. We thought, oh, maybe this guy's probably sleeping around and whatnot. And so we prayed through, and obviously we interviewed the person and whatnot. And this was something that was part of their life, but totally repented and all these things. But yet one of our members was just adamant. I mean, just almost, I could say, kind of pissed off at this individual, but it was a bit over the top. Have you ever been in those situations where, you know, someone's anger you remember that verse that says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God? But yet this person's anger and just demeanor was like a little bit over the top. And then crazy thing happens. A few months later on, we find out that this person is actually in an illicit relationship. Right, I mean, even worse than the other guy that wanted to go on missions, you know, and it happens like that all the time. The way I process it, you know, I still don't have a grip on it, but I think a lot of times that someone is going through something. Let's say the accuser is himself sleeping around, like in this situation, and doing things that he should not be doing. Some of it, he's so angry at himself that there's kind of very much a self-loathing that's happening there. He's so angry with himself that his anger against himself actually comes out to somebody else. I don't know if that makes sense. Is that correct, Pastor Carol? Is that psychological? I don't know. But who knows? But that's kind of my thinking. And I feel like sometimes that happens. You're so mad at yourself that it manifests as this over-the-top anger with someone else. Or it could even be some kind of appeasement in that way. I had a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, and he was ministering at a church, and he messed up. Let's just, you know, honestly, he messed up. He started a relationship with a girl, and it was really bad. What ended up happening was there was another woman in the church, and she just wanted to just crucify my friend. I mean, just crucify him. Just over the top. I mean, just crazy. I mean, kind of above and beyond. He repented. Obviously, you know, he's trying to figure out what he should do with the ministry and whatnot. But just really, there was a real change of heart and all these things. But she just would not let go. And then we found out about 2 years later on that she actually was having an affair at that time. Worse situation than what my friend was going through, and she actually got pregnant. And that's how we all found out that this happened, you know, before marriage. And I mean, it was just crazy. And we're looking back and saying, man, she was so aggro about this situation. Oh, it's because she's dealing with it herself. I mean, that's not always the case, okay? You know, but there's something about that. Sometimes when you point out the speck in someone else's eye, it diverts the attention to the log that is in your own eye. And so it seems could be very comfortable to bring that kind of judgment against somebody. Now, obviously, when we talk about judging, Romans 14:1 tells us that we don't judge with an agenda. You know what I mean? We're not meant to judge in a way that's kind of revengeful. Or vengeful, or something in that regard. We're talking about righteous judgment. We're talking about that you have a relationship with God, and that you are good with God, and it's not any kind of revenge or anything. But again, we talked about this whole week that you really love this person, and you go and lovingly confront this person. If Jesus is saying, listen, you don't judge. Only God is able to judge. And that, we're talking about end time judgment in that regard. But we say that then the whole passage in Matthew 18 that we went through the last couple of days is meaningless to us. Then why should we confront anyone who's in sin if we're not allowed to judge them? Obviously, that's not what Jesus is saying, right? Again, the issue is hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't, and this is what a lot of us do. This is Pascal has this, Kierkegaard has this great parable illustration of this. What we do is we judge others with a very high standard, and we judge ourselves with a very low standard. Right? Did you get that? We judge others. We have a standard for other people that is so high, but for ourselves, it's so low. And Kierkegaard, when he writes this parable, he actually writes about, he calls this the folly of intentions. We judge others by their actions, high standard, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. And we say things like, well, I intended to do the right thing. I didn't, but I intended to do it. And because we judge ourselves by our intentions, we let ourselves off the hook. Guess what? Jesus calls that hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. You know, and if we're people that have that high standard for others and that low standard for ourselves, as soon as you're doing that, guess what? You're operating in self-righteousness and you're operating in hypocrisy. You know, these two things, I've been in ministry, probably a little bit before that, but in terms of vocational ministry for 20 years now. In 20 years, I can honestly count on one hand how many times someone has come up to me and said, Pastor Sam, I feel convicted of my self-righteousness. Or someone comes up and says, I feel convicted of my hypocrisy. I can probably count on two fingers. In 20 years of ministry, someone has come up to me and said that, you know, Pastor Sam, I feel convicted of my hypocrisy. I very rarely hear those things. Especially, you know, I feel convicted, I'm very self-righteous. I don't remember any time someone's come up to me and confessed that. I mean, it's just crazy. It's one of these very hidden, very deep, very under the radar, very demonic, very much a religious spirit at work in someone's life that's operating this way. And it's amazing how unaware we are in these situations, right? I think there's a lot of times where people get convicted or confronted of that. But it's very rare when someone comes to that conclusion on their own and says, "You know what? I'm really self-righteous," or "Man, I'm very hypocritical these days." And very rarely, I'm sure it happens, but maybe it just doesn't happen in terms of a confession that comes out in people's mouths, right? For in the way that you judge, you'll be judged. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. Right? Hypocrisy. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Right? The issue with judging, right, is hypocrisy, self-righteousness. This world needs the truth to be spoken out in love. It's exactly what needs to happen. Or else, culture, everything around us will continue to crumble in that regard. And so when you hear someone say things like, don't judge me, or, you know, you can just very easily correct that kind of thinking. Or, you know, in essence, really, that kind of bad theology that they have. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. In the way that you judge, that's why really the first step, I know that in the scriptures in Matthew 18, the first step was, you know, go to your person in private. You know what I think the first step is? The first step is get right with God yourself. When you see your brother sin and you have that love for your brother and whatnot, actually the pre-step is make sure that you're right with God yourself. Make sure that you're not operating out of self-righteousness or you're being a hypocrite. And maybe like a lot of people that have approached me this week, maybe that you're in a situation where God's challenging you to speak out. Make sure your heart's in the right place. You know, in Isaiah 11, you know, why that passage is so powerful? That's what really distinguished Jesus from everybody else. He didn't judge with what he saw or what he heard, but with righteousness. How is that possible? Because the verse before says, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It has to come from the Holy Spirit moving and reigning in our hearts and our lives. And out of that place, we go and we share and we confront, lovingly judge, to bring them out. That's the whole point of confrontation, or, you know, this whole idea of being a peacemaker is restoration. If your motives are not for restoration, if your motives are for vengeance, or, you know, some kind of high moral ground, superiority or something like that, then by all means, do not confront. But if your heart, remember, it's all about the heart. If your heart is to restore, guess what? Then you have God's heart, because that's exactly what God wants to do. And so if you're in a situation where God is challenging you to be a peacemaker to somebody, or maybe someone has become a peacemaker to you, right? So always watch your heart. Make sure that you're right with God. Let's pray this morning. Let's make sure that our hearts are in the right place. And lift up that friend who either you're going to see to be a peacemaker, or someone's being a peacemaker to you and trying to bring some correction in your life. Check your heart. Let's pray together.
Call in your grace everlasting.
Let's pray this morning. If I can alert you to a couple of prayer requests that are quite important. Today, Carmen's grandmother, who became a Christian recently, is 9 years old, and she's having kidney problems, but she's refusing to go to dialysis, which she needs to go to 3 times a week, and it seems like that she just wants to die right now. And so Carmen and her family have asked us to pray this week and just really push. Pray for God's miraculous healing in her life. She's in Phuket, in Thailand. And so yesterday she refused. I think today, we don't know what's going to happen. But it's obviously weighs very heavy on Carmen's heart and her family. And so let's just spend some time this morning and, you know, and hopefully every morning, just really lifting her up. Ask God's healing. A hand upon her life. Also ask for her heart to change as well in this regard. And so let's lift her up. Carmen's here. And so if some of you guys want to go and pray for her and just lay hands on her together, let's just spend some time this morning and let's just really lift her up. This is Carmen's favorite grandmother. And so let's just pray Holy Spirit would just move and minister in this family. Huh? Let's pray. Let's just surround. Carmen's over there. Let's surround Carmen. And let's just pray. Pray for her grandma. She's 9 years old in Phuket. And let's just ask Holy Spirit to just really draw close and move upon this family. Let's intercede. Let's really push, church. Throughout this week, let's just continue to remember to pray for her grandmother. The other thing that I want us to pray for today is actually the Philippines. I feel so embarrassed. I don't really watch the news that much and whatnot, so I'm just totally unaware, but there's been a typhoon that's hit in central Philippines, and it's been really bad. Apparently, they had earthquake a little while ago, and so a lot of people actually had moved to kind of tents and whatnot. And so when this typhoon hit, that's why it was so bad, because people were already in temporary housing and whatnot. And so we've been invited, if you remember Tom, who spoke at our retreat, Tom's heading up some mission relief work for the Assemblies of God, and he'll be in Cebu, and he asked if we can send a team this Monday, actually, to help with some relief work. And so we're trying to round up. If you're interested, or know anyone that's interested in going to Philippines for about 3 or 4 days to help. The funding is already there. They receive actually some funding from the government, but they just need manpower to go and just help in this area. Now, I've never done relief work like this, but you know, I'm actually praying about going myself. and things. So if any of you are interested or you know someone is interested, please contact myself or Pastor Eugene, and we'll try to send a team out this Monday, actually ASAP. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for all the victims. There's thousands of people still missing. There's 100,000 that are homeless at this time. And let's just cover our Filipino brothers and sisters and pray for the relief work, pray for the churches that are there that are going to really be on the spotlight to really provide the aid and care that's necessary. You know, always in these kind of situations, pray against swindlers that will, you know, raise money and use it for themselves and whatnot. It's always one of the most horrible things. All the scumbags come out, you know, in these situations where people are moving out of generosity. And so let's just cover and let's just ask God's hand to be with the country and the people that are suffering. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our community that battling cancer. Let's ask Holy Spirit to come and just release that healing word over their bodies right now. Let's just ask the Lord to come and let's pray. Let's pray for those that are ill, but more than that, they need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's lift up our friends that are looking for work. Ask God to provide for them. Let's go to our mission prayer focus this morning. Let's pray for North Asia. Let's pray for North Korea. Cover Chris, his community up there in NK. Pray for South Korea. A couple weeks, they'll be having their first gathering for a possible future church plant. Haij and Eugene and Eunsang will be leading that time. We'll just cover those guys and just pray for the whole peninsula. There's also a prayer meeting happening on the 21st here. Pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu. And pray for Pastor Sophia's trip on the 18th of November as she goes to visit. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide her and just use her powerfully in Japan. Let's pray for the North Asia. Let's pray for this peninsula. Let's pray for IP, the Well and Cascade. Let's ask God to bless the leaders and all of these soldiers that are on the front line, all the volunteers. Let's pray that a real significant ministry would flow through them in terms of healing physically and inner healing and in prayer, that God would really equip them to really pray strategically, pray wisely over our church and over Hong Kong. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, for the welcoming and barista. And let's pray that every person that comes to SP would just feel loved and feel accepted in this place and not feel like it's so clicky and whatnot. And let's pray for all the ministries that really help to do this well. Let's pray for just a joy when they serve on Sundays. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for Pastor Choi and pray for growth in the church. Pray for unity. Pray that God would just really use and guide the church into His care. Let's lift Him up. Pray for Soho and Harborside. Let's ask God to bless our house churches that are meeting tonight as they talk about blessed are the peacemakers, that in real significant discussion and Holy Spirit's movement would happen tonight. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank You this morning, God. Lord, we thank You for the desire of the Spirit, God, to fill us up, Lord, to lead us righteously, God, that we'd be sons and daughters of righteousness, Lord. Father, we just ask, God, that You would help us, Lord, to really maneuver through, keep us away from hypocrisy and self-righteousness, God. Lord, help us to just always make righteous judgments, Lord, because, God, we love you and we're fixed to you, God. We're abiding in you. And so thank you, God. Lord, we pray for a lot of our friends that are lost right now. Lord, pray that you'd use us as peacemakers, Lord, to lead them to you, to bring restoration and healing in their life, God. Lord, we want to fulfill the law of Christ where you say, bear one another's burden. So thank you, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.